While school choice options for families have expanded, the call continues to create more avenues of options so that parents can select the absolute best education opportunities for their children. The recent expansion of the 529 college savings accounts has led to a new insight, which my next guest joins us to detail. He is the Vice President for Policy with the Invest in Education Coalition, Peter Murphy. How are you today, Peter?
I'm great, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
And learn more about the Invest in Education Coalition and what we are going to be talking about here. Investineducation.org is the website. And when I mentioned the expansion of the 529 college savings accounts as a starting point, what was that expansion? What did that entail?
So college savings accounts, 529 plans, they call them, have been around for just over 20 years. They were a creation of Congress, and they are individual state programs that provide a tax-free incentive to save for the child's college. And so they have grown in popularity. About 13 million accounts are set up. There's $300 billion, that reside in these accounts, and they've just been an effective, tax-free means by which to save for, you know, a substantial expense, as any parent would know with a child in college. And so what we were able to do as part of the tax reform bill that passed in December, both houses of Congress, signed by President Trump, what we were able to do is include a provision that in effect expanded the use of savings from 529 plans to pay for K-12 tuition at a parochial, private, or a non-resident public school. And so that was just another way to help parents better educate their children before they go to college, to make sure that they're in the right school setting that's going to prepare them for to attend college or to embark upon a career after having a higher quality education. I mean, college is great, but we want to have kids that are better prepared for college. And this was just another means by which parents could be empowered to do that.
And certainly there's information, and they can look at their children's grades and listen to their children as well to know whether or not the school that their child is currently in or is headed for is an effective one or not. I mean, we've all seen the reports of, you know, which ones are the money pits that they throw tens of millions of dollars into and nothing ever changes. And the schools who are getting it done, ironically, are told every time funding season comes around, well, you have to do as good as you're doing, but we're going to give you less money this time around because we have to pour more into the money pit.
Well, for many parents, public education and the districts they live in are just fine. But for many others, it's not fine. And so it's our mission, it's our purpose to work with states and particularly with Congress to open up more avenues for more parents to have a better education for their children. School choices is really what it's about in terms of providing more opportunities, particularly for people who can't afford that. I mean, upper-income wealthy people, they can afford school choice right now. And for a more, you know, egalitarian society, to provide greater opportunities, school choice is an important means by which to do that. And for parents that are satisfied in getting the education in their district schools, more power to them. But many parents, that's not the case. And so we are really pursuing a number of means by which we can empower parents to have a better quality education for their children. The 529 expansion was one example of success we've had in recent months, and we're continuing that effort.
Yeah, with an idea now for a national tax credit to encourage charitable donations to nonprofit K-12 scholarship funds. Explain what the mechanics of that would be.
Well, right now, Chris, you can make a charitable donation for a variety of things, obviously, and one of which is many people give to scholarship funds. These are funds that are set up to provide scholarships for children to go to K-12 schools. College, I often, anyway, think of scholarships as kind of a collegiate level thing. You know, college scholarships, that's a very common, familiar pairing of words, so to speak. What we're trying to do is expand the ability of parents to access scholarships for their children's K-12 education. Because, again, those same issues of higher quality, better schooling, more suitable educational settings. So we graduate children college-ready, career-ready. And so by the K-12 scholarship program, what that would do is it would increase the tax incentive for people to donate to these scholarship funds that exist all over the country and create new scholarship funds in order to drive more charitable money so that more parents can access scholarships to have school choice for their children. Right now, if you give to a scholarship fund, you get a tax deduction, but we want to turn that into a tax credit, a federal income tax credit that would, in effect, enhance the ability and the financial incentive for people to give. More people would give more money to these scholarship funds. More parents, more children would get the help that they need to have a better education.
Peter Murphy, who is Vice President for Policy with the Invest in Education Coalition. InvestInEducation.org is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. It sounds like, too, these scholarship foundations could operate really at any level, local, regional, state, national. Would that be the possibilities?
Well, absolutely. In fact, they do now. And so this would bring more resources to those organizations to, in turn, help more children. And what we've seen at the state level in places like Pennsylvania, Florida, Arizona, these are a handful of states that have done this really well at the state level. We want to make that a national program so every state can have these financial incentives to drive more donations to these scholarship funds so children can get help. If you're not fortunate enough to live in Pennsylvania or Florida, you don't have access to these scholarship opportunities. We want to make it national so all kids in New Jersey, New York, elsewhere have this opportunity. And the beauty of these funds is, and at least the way most of these state laws are set up, is it limits that bureaucratic overreach that could kick in by limiting the what you could use scholarship money for to keep administrative costs down and make sure that donations actually go to scholarships for children. So we want to do that nationally. So, again, all kids can get help, lower-income families, working and middle-class families as well.
Now, this all sounds to most people like a fantastic idea, but much like with the 529 expansion, there is a roadblock. It's known as pretty much the Democrats and the teachers' unions. How do you overcome that?
It can be with a concerted effort, and that's what we're making. The teacher unions have traditionally opposed these things, and they present a formidable political opposition. But 18 states have scholarship programs at the state level. Congress has just expanded the 529 program, and so it's incumbent upon us. And I appreciate the opportunity to present this to your listeners. It's incumbent to speak up, raise your voices, contact your congressmen and congresswomen, and get this thing done. I mean, the teacher unions are who they are. They are what they are, and they can be overcome because ultimately this. And I hate to come off cliched here, but this really is about children. It really is about what's best for them and giving parents and empowering them to make educational decisions that right now are financially out of reach. And if that's where we keep our focus, we can make real breakthroughs here nationally. And in fact, it's really unfortunate that Democrats should be natural proponents of this. And we had for many years, Chris, a bipartisan consensus on charter schools. Democrats and Republicans, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, both Barack Obama supported charter schools. The same should be true here in K-12 scholarship tax credits, because the children are the ones that benefit. And by having a program in place like this, in no way inhibits policymakers and administrators and teachers from improving public education. It's not a zero-sum game. Expanding school choice does not tie anybody's hands in improving public education. They can both happen. They both should happen.
Well, if anything, it encourages schools, if they sense that they're losing students to school choices and they see underperforming teachers, make a more stringent review system, don't drag out reprimand procedures. when you're hiring teachers, pick a role in the ability to select better talent and become a more successful player in the public school system, and you won't lose your students.
Do better by children. Parents, if they're happy with what they have, they're not going to be yearning to go elsewhere. Do better by children. Do better by parents. Get better results. Be accountable. I mean, those are things we see throughout the workplace in every industry that's successful. The same should apply to public education. And in many places, it does, in fact, apply. Parents can be demanding. You know, they spend a lot, certainly in New Jersey, spend a lot on property taxes. They want their kids to get the education that they need. And so many districts are responsive to those things, but many are not. And it's those places where children really deserve better and should have the educational opportunities that the scholarship tax credit would give them, that in many cases charter schools have given them as an alternative. But we have to do more there. We have to expand more because children are only young once. You know, we only have one chance to get this right. Because if we don't get it right, we know what happens. The whole school-to-prison pipeline issue. I mean, the answer is better education, more opportunities, and a lot gets fixed, not just in the present day, but in the near term, in the near future, as they become young adults.
I hope it doesn't take me to remind you listening that as a parent of a school child, you have a powerful voice, and as a citizen, you have a very valuable vote, and it's up to you to utilize those two tools to make changes like this and create a more positive opportunity for the education of a child a reality. And learn more about it, you can go to investineducation.org. That's the website for Invest in Education Coalition. We've been talking with their vice president for policy, Peter Murphy. Peter, thanks for the insight into this idea, and it'd be fun to watch it grow. And I think anyone with common sense would have to latch onto it because it is indeed for the children and a better future and potential and possibilities for them. So thanks for doing that and for being here today.
Chris, happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.